So it's just really good to be here this morning talking to you on this special day for Paul and Lydia. And for all of us as a church, we've been looking forward to this day, and it's just brilliant to hear your stories about what God's been doing in your life, and just a real privilege to be able to baptise you both. So what a great day this is. I'm going to spend just a few minutes now just talking to you about a story from Acts. As a church, we've been looking at this part of the Bible since September. We're looking at the first four chapters of Acts, and we've got to chapter 3. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. And Acts is a fascinating part of the Bible. For those of you who don't know so much about it, there's the Gospels, which are all about Jesus' life, and then straight after that comes the book of Acts. And it's all about what happened next after Jesus' death and resurrection. How a very small group of frightened people became the church, and how God equipped them, and how he worked through them to fulfill his plan for the world. So it's a really good book. It's really exciting to read. It's full of action. It's full of miracles. It's got risk in there. There's power in there. There's faith, and there's life-changing transformation. So I reckon it's a really good place to speak to you from on a baptismal day, because we've been thinking about that and hearing already about what God is doing for Paul and Lydia, bringing faith and forgiveness and healing and changing their lives. So what a great book of the Bible to go to. So I'm going to read to you a part of Acts 3 now, and then just spend a bit of time explaining to you about it and talking to you a little bit about what I thought about that passage. So this is the passage from Acts 3, 1 to 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put down every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his full attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I don't have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, and he was walking and jumping, and he was praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement about what had happened to him. So, what an attention-grabbing story to get us going in Acts into the story of the beginning of the church. We've got a man who's been lame from birth, disadvantaged, and really not got many options open to him but to beg each day at the temple gate, just hoping that someone might have compassion. And then along come two strangers. They hear his request for help, and then they do something. They actually stop and they turn their attention to him. And likewise, he turns his attention to them. Try and hold this picture in your mind of what's going on here with the three men. I wonder what passed between them as they looked at each other. Luke, who actually wrote this book, Acts, said that Peter and John looked really hard at the man, and they stared intently at him. So you can imagine this moment where these two strangers suddenly stop and they really, really stare at this man that's looking up at them. And the man himself then looks at him and Peter and John. At that moment, there was some real clear communication that went on between these three group of men. I wonder what was going on. Maybe the man himself had this real expectation. Oh, I might get something here. There's hope. This could be a good day for me. Things could change. And then maybe Peter and John, I wonder what they were thinking at this point. curious, noticing something that God was pointing out to them, seeing a need, alert to the fact that maybe in this moment God was at work and wanted them to do something, a gift that they might be able to share with this man. We kind of get like a bird's eye view, don't we, about this moment of high drama, this moment of deep human contact. What's going to happen? Well, something does happen, doesn't it? Something miraculous happens. There's a series of words, actions, and then the man's life is changed forever. And it's all because he chose to stop and to turn his attention to two strangers who wanted to share with him something that was priceless. I think sometimes our lives can be really busy, can't they? I don't know about you, but you can get into everyday life routine. There's the needs of others to respond to. There might be your own ambitions, things you want to achieve. We can get so busy in life that we stop noticing how precious and profound and meaningful life can be. It was interesting just listening to Lydia sharing that experience of lockdown and how that made her stop and really think. I wonder if you feel a bit like that. Your life's a bit of a treadmill. Daily demands, full lives. Maybe you've not really taken the choice to stop and ask questions about life. Is there more to life than this? Maybe you've stopped noticing God. But the layman, he chose to stop, didn't he? He turned his full attention to the offer of a gift that would heal him. He turned in hope and anticipation. And faith begins with that moment, our choice to stop and listen and attend. The Bible uses lots of words to describe this. It talks about searching, looking for answers, noticing, turning towards God. And we see all that in this story. Maybe today is a moment when you stop and you turn and you listen. But then the story carries on, didn't it? Because the man had the full attention of Peter and John. And they were looking at him, and then something profound and important happened to the man. The man responded. He wanted to ask for money. But then Peter did something really unexpected. I don't know if you would have done this. I'm not sure I would have done. Maybe I would have done. I'm not sure. But he says he doesn't have any money to give them, but he does have something that will make all the difference. And he gives the man a name. He gives the man a name, and the name is Jesus of Nazareth. That's a really strange gift, isn't it? That you might choose to give to somebody, to give a name. But at that point, as he does that, he introduces him to a person who's going to change everything for him, because Peter introduces him to Jesus. And names matter, don't they? They can instill confidence in us sometimes. They can instill trust, or maybe the opposite. But we kind of get a perception around a name, don't we, through our own experiences and listening to others. I wonder if we could have a look at the next slide, Barry. I wonder when you look at the people here and their names. I chose a sort of a mixture of things. We've got things like, what do you think about when you think about Marks and Spencers? What comes into your mind then? What do you perceive, I wonder? Lehman Brothers. Different thoughts maybe about Lehman Brothers. Some of you might not know who Lehman Brothers are, but you might need to go and do a Google about that and check that. There's some other names as well. Harrods. I pop that in because that's where Lydia works. But what do you think about when you think about Harrods? Mother Teresa, Winston Churchill, Martin Luther King. What do you think when you think of those names? What do you think when you see the name Jesus? What's in your mind as you think about the name Jesus of Nazareth? And why is he so significant in this story? Why is this name so important to the man? And it's a really good starting place for us. If you want to find out what it means to be a Christian, it's a good question to ask. Who is Jesus? because the centre of Christian faith and belief, it's all about a person and it's all about Jesus. There's something that's unique about that name, that's significant, that's powerful, that's transforming. And Peter shows that even saying the name of Jesus can bring healing. As you read a bit further into that chapter, and you might want to do that when you go home, you'll find an explanation, because the crowds were wondering what was happening about this. They were full of wonder, Acts tells us. And then there was quite a lot of questions that went on from lots of different people, from the crowd themselves, from the religious authorities. They wanted to find out what was going on and why he'd used this name. What's all that about? And as you read through the rest of the chapter, Peter explains who Jesus is and why he is so important. Jesus was about a plan that God had put in place from the very beginning. Peter describes Jesus as holy. We've sung about that this morning. Righteous. He uses a lovely word, the source of life. Jesus is the source of life. He describes how he was a man who suffered and was killed, but who God raised from the dead. And Peter himself had witnessed this. He was talking about first-hand experience. And then he talks about the difference that it's made to his own life, a bit like we've heard today from the testimonies from Lydia and from Paul. Jesus, who saves us, washes us clean from our wrongdoing and sin, who powerfully heals, who offers a fresh start and a blessing. Peter introduces the man to Jesus. And at that point, something happens to the man. The name of Jesus changes everything. And there's a point of connection. The man gets it. It makes sense. He understands. And he trusts in Jesus' name. And then with encouragement from Peter, he stands up, doesn't he? What an amazing moment that must have been to see this miracle happening. It's quite a thing to think about, really, isn't it? This is a man who had never known what it is to stand up. Many of you know that I've worked in rehabilitation for many years before I started in this job here. And it's something to help retrain people walk again after they've walked before. But it's a very different thing to try and help someone learn to walk when they've never walked. And what we're reading here is an amazing thing that happens to the man. And I don't know if you noticed, but in the story, the standing up happens before the man's feet and ankles become strong. The man's belief, his willingness to trust in what he's hearing, it leads to this amazing act of faith. And he stands up. And it's at that point that all the healing is unlocked in his body and he's physically able to stand and walk and jump and praise. No wonder everyone was really amazed when they saw this happen. And as you continue to read in Acts, you see this kind of story happening again and again and again. In fact, Paul, there's a man called Paul who experiences this in Acts. He becomes known as the Apostle Paul, a great leader in the early church, your namesake. I'm really fortunate today because I've got two people who have their names in Acts, both Paul and Lydia. And I just wanted to encourage you to think about Paul, because he came from a very difficult background. He was a leader, but he worked for the establishment and he had a job that involved violence and the persecution of others. Yet, Jesus met him powerfully, and you can read that a little bit further into Acts. Paul believed, he was baptized, just like you've been done, that you've happened to you today. And then he went on to have an amazing ministry of encouraging the church. He constantly wrote about the undeserving love of God, who forgave him and who he experienced through Jesus. And he became a great teacher, and he willingly sacrificed himself for the needs of others. He lived out a life restored, a life turned around. And he's a great name to have, Paul. So I feel encouraged by Paul. And then there's Lydia. She was an amazing woman. She's in Acts 2. You can read about her. She worked in the fashion industry of her time, a bit like Lydia does today. She sold exclusive public purple fabric to very wealthy people. So Lydia can kind of relate to some of this. You will need to ask Lydia what she does for her job afterwards, as she'll explain to you. But this time, Lydia met Paul. And Paul came along and met her by the riverbank. And we discovered that she was a woman who prayed. She was a prayerful woman. And then, interestingly, Acts tells us that she listened. She gave her full attention, a bit like the man that we're talking about in the story. And she made those connections. And Acts tells us that Jesus opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And then she was baptized, and the whole of her household were baptized. And she was the first documented Christian in Europe. Isn't that amazing? And she went on to host Christians and to lead Christians in her home. So another woman that was used by God. And I can tell you about this experience myself. I made a choice when I was 13 to turn my attention to Jesus and to meet him. And it was a bit like the man. I needed to stand up and then get used to walking and build my faith and get stronger legs. And I've been doing that ever since, and I will continue to do so. And many people here in this congregation can share their own stories about the difference that the name of Jesus has made to them. So let's just move on to the next slide then, Barry. The man responded thankfully, didn't he? He didn't just walk. I love this story. I kind of imagine him running and jumping and praising. And one of the things that this story tells us is that the man wasn't just changed physically. This experience touched him as a whole person. It impacted on his emotions and his well-being. And Luke uses a particular word when he writes this story that means complete wholeness. So it wasn't just about his physical changes. He got and experienced complete wholeness as a person. And Peter explains that there's a reason for this too. And that's because God sent Jesus to bless us. He sent him to bless you. He explains that it's God's heart that all people might experience blessing that comes through Jesus. And that's what we see in the man's life. He lives this blessing out in his life. He knows what it is to experience God's forgiveness every day. And Peter literally uses this description of having the slate wiped clean. If you know that saying, this is where it comes from, that his slate was wiped clean, a fresh start, a new start. And then that brought refreshment from God. You can read that a bit further down in the chapter. This is something about hope for the future, a taste of what it's like to be in the future when God restores everything back to what it should be again. And that's there for us. When we come to faith, we begin a life with God, and our time is his time. I think this passage really challenged me, actually, personally, when I was preparing for it. I just wondered, it made me think, do I live my life as a person who believes that they are blessed by knowing Jesus? And do I open myself up every day to experiences of being refreshed from God as I go out and I get tired and worn out and do my thing? Do I then come back and ask God to refresh me again, not in my own strength, but in the strength of God? It's something that we all need constantly to experience. So, Paul and Lydia, as you go out into your life, there's going to be points of struggle and hard things as well, but there'll also be moments of real joy. But go out as people who know you are blessed and who time and time again have access to God, who has graciously wiped your slate clean, and whose heart it is to bless you and to bring you times of refreshment to your soul. Be people who are thankful. And then just one more thing I noticed in this story. The man doesn't hold this experience of faith to himself, does he? He doesn't kind of just quietly go off home and not do anything about it. It's like infectious. He can't stop himself. He rushes out. He's praising. People see what's happened and they recognize him as the man who was previously beckoning. You see, God doesn't intend us to hide what we know about Jesus away. Following a journey of faith is about sharing your own story, and you've done that today brilliantly, about what Jesus has done in your life. And so, Lydia and Paul, as you go out from today, and I'm nearly finished, go out to bless others. Be committed, be part of church in some way, and be part of a church fellowship, and follow that promise you made to serve Jesus in the world and to bless others. It's a privilege and a challenge that each of us, each believer has in Jesus, to share Jesus through our words and actions. So to summarise all this is all about a man who was changed because he encountered and met Jesus. He listened, he switched his attention to what was going on and connected with God, and it made sense. And then he responded by thanking and serving. And for each one of us, this is a story that's relevant. It challenges each one of us to turn our attention and notice the name of Jesus. It invites us in faith to take hold of the new life that Jesus has for each one of us. And then it calls us to be thankful, to live our lives that are shaped by forgiveness and refreshment and blessing. And then finally, this story encourages us to be infectious, to share our faith with others, and to serve and bless and help people to experience God for themselves. So if this is something that you want and you've never had, do something about it. Come and have a chat with me. There's some literature and stuff out on the table there if you want to take it. Talk to someone else that you know has faith. Find out more about it. Don't lose this opportunity to listen and to connect for yourself. And if you're here today and you're finding life's a bit of a struggle and you want to live this way of life, of noticing God, of stepping out in faith, knowing refreshment, sharing your faith with joy, and that's not happening for you, it might be that you need prayer too. So come and find me, and there's people in the church here that would love to pray for you. So let me pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this story today and for all that it shows us about Jesus and the difference that he can make in our lives. Help us to be people who look to you, who turn our attention to you, who notice Jesus. Help us to be people who understand, who make a connection. Help us to take the invitation of faith for ourselves and this new start. And then release us into a life going forward that's thankful, that's shaped by forgiveness and refreshment and blessing. And help us to share this with others. In Jesus' name, amen.